This is a story told by William Lynn Weaver, who was 57, talking to his daughter, Kimberly Weaver, 38, about his father, Ted Weaver, who worked as a chauffeur and a janitor. Growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, we knew that there were certain things you just couldn't do. There were white-only water fountains and bathrooms, but you know, kids are kids, so we ran and played ball. I had an extremely happy childhood, I think, until high school, when the decision was made to integrate schools, and that's when childhood became not fun. My brother and I were on the football team, and the first couple of years, there were some teams that refused to play our team because we had black players, and the crowds were always verbally violent. We had an away game in a little town outside of Knoxville. My brother was a linebacker, and I was the other linebacker. They ran a play, and their number one player came running across the middle, and when he caught the ball, my brother hit him high, and I hit him low. He was injured. They put him in a stretcher, and the crowd went berserk. The crowd came onto the field. To my eyes, it looked like maybe 1,000 people, but it was probably only 200. And they were all shouting. And our whole team, black and white together, backed up against the fence. And I thought, this is it. They are going to kill us. And then an arm reached through the fence and grabbed my shoulder pads. I turned around and looked. It was my father. He was very calm, and he said, "It's going to be all right." I turned to my brother and I said, "Dad's here. We're going to get out of this." He never missed a game. Just then, the state police came and escorted us to the bus. And when we got on the bus, it dawned on me that my father was by himself, the only black man there. I knew the police wouldn't help him, and I figured if the crowd didn't get us, they would get him. And he just waved, and the bus door closed, and we took off. I was petrified. When we got back to school, we went into the locker room, and in walks my father. I never felt so happy in my life. And like nothing happened, he said, "You ready to go?" I said, "How did you get out of there?" And he said, "It was no problem." He never told us what happened. He never wanted us to worry about him. He just wanted us to know that if anything happened, he would be there to protect us. I always tell you that your mama was the smartest person I've ever met, but I think my father ranks right up there as brilliant. He made me feel that I could do anything I wanted to do. When I was in high school, I was taking algebra. And one night, I was sitting at the kitchen table trying to do my homework. I got frustrated and I said, "I just can't figure this out." My father said, "What's the problem? Let me look at it." And I said, "Dad, they didn't have algebra in your day." And I went to bed. At around 4 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and he sat me at the kitchen table and he taught me algebra. What he had done was sit up all night and read the algebra book, and then explained the problems to me so that I could do them and understand them. My father was everything to me. He was the greatest person I've ever known, the light of my life, the heart of my heart. Up until he died, I called him before every decision I ever made. He never told me what to do, but he would always listen and say, "Well, what do you want to do?" So I lived my life trying to be just half the man my father was, and I would be a success if my children loved me half as much as I love my father.
Bob Moore is going to sing a song for us that has a little piece of introduction. This is a song by David Wilcox, who is one of those people I go back to whenever I am bewildered by the world or need help figuring out how to celebrate those most intangible moments of life. So this is the little bit of introduction that David Wilcox gives this song, and I'll share his words with you before Bob Moore sings for us. At first, I thought this song was about a friend whose life had been cut short, and I was hoping that he had had time to do what he came to do. But the more I started thinking about the people who had really made a difference in my life and changed everything by saying the right thing at the right moment, I realized that every time I go back and try to thank those people for saying the thing that changed everything, they never remember saying it. I say, come on, you have to remember this. This is the single most important thing in my life. And they kind of shrug and say, great. So I think, well, if you had done the thing that you came here to do, how would you even know it? So it surprised me when this song started to turn into a Martin Luther King song, because, of course, he had a great life. He made a big difference. But, of course, being human, I wonder if he knew.
You couldn't listen. You held to your suspicion, 'cause this new point of view seemed bold and strange. But that simple truth's insistence just melted your resistance, till all at once you knew that what you knew was changed. A match won't burn for long enough. Light a single candle only burns until the conversation's done. One bright conversation shines a light across a lifetime. Your quick life had time enough to shine like the sun. For easy answers only led to harder questions. You rose up when that simple felt pain. You were fearless in the rubble. You were shaking the foundation. You weren't afraid to shatter what you thought you knew. A match will burn for long enough. Candle only burns until the solution's found. One bright conversation shines a light across the lifetime. Your quick life had time enough to shine like the sun. Thank you. to generation. Your words could strike a match and light a fire. And one by one, the light spread through the people of the nation, till the tyranny of hate would never be the same. A match will burn for long enough to light a single one. A candle only burns until the conversation's done. One bright conversation shines a light across the lifetime. Every life has time enough to shine, like the sun. On that balcony in Memphis, with a bullet through your body, we heard you speak a strong and gentle prayer. They tried to kill the future, as if just a gun could stop you, but the heart of you is beating.
Well, Bob, you sang the sun back out. The story that Laura Stevens told us is from a program called StoryCorps. StoryCorps started because one man was obsessed with helping people tell their stories. He was convinced that hearing each other's stories changes our lives, reconnects us to each other and to ourselves. He fell into the project by luck and persistence. And it's really pretty simple how it works. People are invited to interview the most important person in their life. A trained facilitator helps them get to the really profound conversations. Conversations like the one that David Wilcox wrote the song about. Those conversations that can shine across a lifetime. The first time they had a StoryCorps project going, they set up a soundproof booth in Grand Central Station and invited people to do interviews right there. Studs Terkel was there for the kickoff of this first StoryCorps event. And if you know Studs Terkel, you know that he was a collector of stories. And he said, "Today we shall begin celebrating the lives of the uncelebrated. We are in Grand Central Terminal. We know there was an architect, but who hung the iron? Who were the brick masons? Who swept the floors? These are the non-celebrated people of our country, and in this kiosk, those anonymous people, the uncelebrated, will speak of their lives." When Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, he was there for the uncelebrated people, for the anonymous people, for the people who collect garbage. He was there for the humanity of the people who clean up after everybody else, just like the janitor in the story. Martin Luther King Jr. was a great man in part because he put his whole mind and spirit toward recovering the full humanity of every person. That was his promised land. Every person, everyone, had dignity and worth and value. And that is our work here, too. We do it in lots of small ways when we hear each other's stories, when we engage in programs like the Mystery Buddy program, where we get to know each other's lives. When we participate in the Give It Away Sundays, when you go up to Concord to testify or to speak up for World of Justice. The story from StoryCorps was collected at the Martin Luther King Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's just an ordinary man telling his daughter about his dad. His dad who was a janitor before the Civil Rights Movement. An ordinary man living under the weight of profound prejudice. And when we hear about the love that this father and this son had for each other, it is hard to understand why the world has not yet been transformed already into a place of deep kindness and love. A story about a man who stood behind his sons when they were in danger and afraid. A man who stayed up half the night to teach himself something so that he could teach it to his son. A man who asked his grown boy, "What do you want to do?" when his son was trying to make a decision. That's who Martin Luther King was working for Ted, the janitor from Knoxville, Tennessee. Just an ordinary man, trying to do right by his children, trying to love them so that they could grow into their own lives, grow into their best selves. His life shone like the sun. And of course, most people never hear his name, Ted Weaver of Knoxville. But we have heard it, and we know what it means now, that ordinary life. We know that listening for that story is how we begin to build a world of justice. That we can make those stories, tell those stories, and hear them. And that is how we make a world where all people are loved the way the people in that story were loved. And that is the world of justice that we are building.